Simple Actions Group of Alcoholics Anonymous. My name is BJ, and I'm an alcoholic.
BJ. Hey, BJ.
For those who care to join us, let's open the meeting with the Serenity Prayer. God.
Grant me serenity to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change things I can, and wisdom to know the difference.
The Simple Actions Group wishes to extend a warm welcome to all in attendance this evening. These premises are non-smoking. Our group is welcome to use this room and the restrooms exclusively. Bathrooms are across the hall and up the more shallow flight of stairs. At this time, we ask that you silence your cell phones. Also, we respectfully ask that those present please refrain from unnecessary moving around the room. This will keep distractions and disturbances to a minimum and allow everyone to listen uninterrupted. This group practices the spiritual foundations of anonymity, singleness of purpose, and effective sponsorship. As a group, we believe that Alcoholics Anonymous provides alcoholics with a set of clear directions on precisely how to recover from the illness of alcoholism on the basis of simple actions. These actions are contained in the book Alcoholics Anonymous. It is the purpose of this meeting to carry that clear message and to focus on precisely how to recover from the illness of alcoholism on the basis of AA's simple actions. I will now read the AA preamble. Alcoholics Anonymous is a fellowship of men and women who share their experience, strength, and hope with each other that they may solve their common problem and help others to recover from alcoholism. The only requirement for membership is a desire to stop drinking. There are no dues or fees for AA membership. We are self-supporting through our own contributions. AA is not allied with any sect, denomination, politics, organization, or institution, does not wish to engage in any controversy, neither endorses nor opposes any causes. Our primary purpose is to stay sober and help other alcoholics to achieve sobriety. The format of this meeting is an open Big Book step study. As a group, we recognize the power of one alcoholic identifying with another alcoholic, sharing their experience, strength, and hope from the book Alcoholics Anonymous. We encourage you to engage in conversation and ask questions after the meeting pertaining to the step discussed tonight. And this evening, we are discussing step two. Came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. I'd love for you guys to help me welcome our panel. Tonight we have Ebony and Kevin. I will read the first paragraph, which tonight is on page 44, and then the panel will share for a few minutes each on the reading. So, page 44. In the preceding chapters, you have learned something of alcoholism. We hope we have made clear the distinction between the alcoholic and the non-alcoholic. If, when you honestly want to, you find you cannot quit entirely, or if when drinking you have little control over the amount you take, you're probably alcoholic. If that be the case, you may be suffering from an illness which only a spiritual experience will conquer. To one who feels he is an atheist or agnostic, such an experience seems impossible, but to continue as he is means disaster, especially if he is an alcoholic of the hopeless variety. To be doomed to an alcoholic death or to live on a spiritual basis are not always easy alternatives to face, but it isn't so difficult. About half our original fellowship were of exactly that type. At first, some of us tried to avoid the issue, hoping against hope we were not true alcoholics. But after a while, we had to face the fact that we must find a spiritual basis of life or else. Perhaps it is going to be that way with you, but cheer up. Something like half of us thought we were atheists or agnostics. Our experience shows that you need not be disconcerted. If a mere code of morals or a better philosophy of life were sufficient to overcome alcoholism, many of us would have recovered long ago. But we found that such codes and philosophies did not save us, no matter how much we tried. We could wish to be moral, we could wish to be philosophically comforted, in fact, we could will these things with all our might, but the needed power wasn't there. Our human resources, as marshaled by the will, were not sufficient. They failed utterly. Lack of power, that was our dilemma. We had to find a power by which we could live, and it had to be a power greater than ourselves, obviously. But where and how were we to find this power? Well, that's exactly what this book is about. Its main object is to enable you to find a power greater than yourself, which will solve your problem. Ebony.
Hi, I'm Ebony. I'm an alcoholic.
Ebony.
I'll go ahead and give those little background. My home group is the Oceanfront Brunch Bunch down in Virginia Beach. We meet every day, a few times a day. I have a sponsor who knows I am her sponsee. She has a sponsor. I have not found it necessary to take a drink since Friday the 13th, 2015. I do service work at the intergroup level and wherever else I can jump in. Now that all that's done, we agnostics, in step two, came to believe that a power greater than myself could restore us to sanity. I started saying it in first person because my sponsor had me rewrite the steps after using a dictionary to look up all the words in each step, which was quite uncomfortable because I thought I knew everything and I didn't need a dictionary. But the truth of the matter is, I knew nothing about God. I knew nothing about a higher power. I knew nothing about a power greater than myself, and I did not understand why it was necessary to believe in something greater than me when I came to AA only to stop drinking. Well, sort of stop drinking. Drink like a lady. Then I read this chapter of We Agnostics, and that's a whole lot of information in a lot of the paragraphs that we just read. And I remember in early sobriety, I would be driving to meetings with one of my best friends in the program, and I would say to him, I just don't understand what this big deal about We Agnostics is. Like, I keep reading it. I keep going through it. My sponsor keeps taking me through this, and I'm missing something. I just don't get it. And when I look back at that, because I was so frustrated, it's because it's just very simply written, and I wanted to overcomplicate it in my head. And even though it's so simple, and my sponsor was making it simple, I came into Alcoholics Anonymous with all these preconceived notions of God and a power greater than myself, you know? So the beginning where it talks about if, when I really want to stop drinking, I can't, that obsession of the mind, right? And then when I do drink, I have no control over how much I actually am going to drink. I might have one, but that's not the way I get down. If I'm drinking, I'm drinking all the way. Because what is the fun of tipsy? That's just abnormal to me. And apparently I'm abnormal to the rest of the world, except for you guys. So anyways, so for me, that statement is very simple and very easy. I did not have to overthink if I'm an alcoholic. It doesn't mean that I drink too much, or I drink because I feel this way, or I drink because I'm depressed, or I drink, you know, these either or statements, I have both of those. That makes me a real alcoholic. And so going further down, I hate this, live life on a spiritual basis or be doomed to an alcoholic death. And I've continuously tried to find door C. And the truth of the matter is, since that did not exist, I decided doomed to an alcoholic death I was okay with for a while. You know, and then I would go to the meetings and I would hear old timers share their experience that doomed to an alcoholic death was not what I had imagined in my mind. I'm super dramatic, and in my head, doomed to an alcoholic death means I drink as much as I want to, I pass out, I don't wake up the next day. And that had been my goal for a very long time, but it never happened. So I read the sentence in the book tells me that. But the truth of the matter is that for me, doomed to an alcoholic death means living in that suffering pain, being trapped in that cycle, and not knowing when it's going to end. For me, that was what I did not want, so it made me willing to try to do something a little bit different. Atheist, agnostic, I didn't know the difference. I knew I grew up in the church. I'm a Southern Baptist, I don't know what I am now. I don't even label myself, besides the fact that I believe there's something out there, God of my understanding, which I prefer to call she because it makes other people cringe, still have character defects. So I refer to my higher power as a female. But I love the fact that it tells me it's okay. The second step is just asking me to be willing to believe in something. I don't want to go ahead and jump way too far, but moral and philosophical convictions galore. That was me growing up. I used to be super judgmental. I'm pretty much the woman I used to say was going to hell now, and it's kind of sad, but it's not sad actually anymore. But the way I grew up, I used to have all of these rules. A woman doesn't curse, a woman doesn't drink, a woman is subservient to a man, and all of the, like all of this crazy stuff. And if you know me now, you pretty much know that's not the life I'm living at all. And I would judge all of these people around me based off of what was going on. The only problem is I would never judge myself. Those rules only worked for other people. And so when I came into AA, I came off of being in the church for a long time, hearing about this God talk in meetings, and kind of turned off to the idea because I tried the God thing. I didn't know that that made me an agnostic. I believed in God. I didn't want anything to do with God. God didn't really work in my life. I didn't understand these labels. Sometimes I still don't understand them, but all I know is that that old stuff did not work. I had to come in here with an open mind, with a little bit of belief and willingness to believe in something greater than me, you know, and that powerlessness over alcohol, for me today, I am still powerless over alcohol. I will never have the power to drink safely. Whether it's in my body or not, I am powerless. But what the 12 steps have allowed me to do and what's going through the book has allowed me to do, I have a personal relationship with God as I understand her today. And she keeps me sober. She fills in for me in those mental blank spots. She somehow puts people around me in my way when a drink looks good, when a newcomer wants to call me after they haven't called me in a year. That's my higher power working for me. But I don't want to get too far ahead. Thanks.
I'm Kevin, I'm an alcoholic, and my sobriety date is December 13th, 2016. I got a sponsor, and my home group is We Are Not Saints off of Shore Drive. We meet Saturdays at 6, Sundays at 6, and Mondays at 7, Big Book, 12 Steps, and then open discussion. And after doing my step one, you know, it's kind of like sad because I admitted I was powerless over alcohol. My life was unmanageable. And it's just a sad point to be in for me. I just felt like devastated, like I'd given up everything that worked for me up until that point. And then coming to step two is where I could start seeing some of the light, or what everybody talks about, the freedom to live and learn to live life on life's terms, can start opening up for me, because I'm starting to see that it's not about me, you know, because that was one of the, how it talks in the end of that, we just read the lack of power. That was one of the things that I always was looking for, lack of power, you know, and that's what led me to those codes and moral philosophies. I had power in drinking, and I had power in, you know, my other character defects, because I could choose to use them when I felt like crap. That was somewhere for me to go, you know, and alcohol wasn't a problem until it was a problem, you know, and it felt really good to come here and learn that alcohol wasn't my problem. You know, at first you're thinking like, I can just come here and stop. At first I was thinking, I come here, stop drinking, my life got better. But I had stopped drinking before I came, and my life got crazier that week mentally. You know, I still had my job. I didn't get fired or anything crazy, but I was just insane mentally, and because I didn't have my power. And so coming to believe that a power outside of myself, greater than myself, can restore me to sanity is where I first start to see that this program could work for me, you know, because I grew up in a church and grew up with, I guess, religion, but I never felt that I fit in. I never felt that it was for me, all the ritualistic stuff. And I just always felt out of place, just like in life, you know. And maybe that was part of my alcoholism. I know for me, a lot of times I would compare myself out, because if I didn't find power in wherever I was, I don't need to be here. There's nothing good for me. So coming here on my knees and figuring out, hey, I can choose my own God of my understanding. It doesn't matter where you stand at. Just find one that's greater than you, because that's who can help you. And taking that step really has opened a door for me because to be calmer with myself in the times where I'm feeling down and I'm being judgmental, I'm having my character defects, because I can say, okay, it's not about me, Kevin. It's not about me. There's a power greater than me. And that continues to work in my life, you know, on a daily basis. When I'm spiritually fit, my higher power restores me to sanity. You know, I can just get down a rabbit hole. And when it talks about, like Ebony was saying, to live a spiritual basis or an alcoholic death, you know, I used to think, what do I care about death? Like, I won't be here. But like she said, like, I don't want to live unspiritually fit anymore. Now I know what it looks like being spiritually fit, because it's scary, you know, to not have anything that you can lean on in your time of need. Now that I know alcohol is not that power for me anymore. You know, they say, you know, AA messes up your drinking when you come here, because you kind of learn things that kind of help you not want to drink. And when you go back out, they say you don't want to drink anymore. But for me, I feel like it would mess up just my living. You know, when I'm even in sobriety, when I'm participating and I have things that happen in my life of the old Kevin crops back up, you know, because I only have a daily reprieve, it messes up that living, because sometimes I want to go back to those character defects, cussing people out, you know, doing the wrong thing. But that's all I have on that.
Thank you. Our next reading is on page 46. Much to our relief, we discovered we did not need to consider another's conception of God. Our own conception, however inadequate, was sufficient to make the approach and to effect a contact with him. As soon as we admitted the possible existence of a creative intelligence, a spirit of the universe underlying the totality of things, we began to be possessed of a new sense of power and direction, provided we took other simple steps. We found that God does not make too hard terms with those who seek him. To us, the realm of the spirit is broad, roomy, all-inclusive, never exclusive or forbidding to those who earnestly seek. It is open, we believe, to all men.
So back to that step work, Ebony Alcoholic. Do I have to do that every time? Okay, good. back to that step work with my sponsor and defining the words. I remember after I'd done the homework, that's not homework, but my life depended on this, so it was homework. And I'm sitting in a meeting with her, and I've defined all these words, I've read the chapters, and I'm talking to her, and she says to me, so why do you think the P in power is capitalized? And I look at her and say, like, duh, it means God. And I didn't say duh, because I'm trying to be respectful. She's an older woman, she reminds me of my mother. But in my head, I'm thinking, I went to college, I have a degree, like, duh. It means God. And she looked at me and just, she shakes her head. And I'm like, what did I do wrong? This is an obvious answer. And she says, it can be whatever you want it to be, Ebony. It's just gotta be not you. And she's, even now today in sobriety, she likes to call me God Junior, or she'll ask me if God's on vacation. And for me, you know, that was a brand new concept. And I know in How It Works, it talks about old ideas. We had to let go of them, absolutely. And this whole God thing was an old idea. And so when I read this chapter with the sponsor, and I'm at meetings, and I'm going through the second step, and it's telling me I can conceive my own concept of God, I'm like, I'm pretty sure I'll go to hell for that. But I was kind of, you know, scared and hesitant and procrastinate like I do, because all of AA, all of the principles, all of the work is absolutely contrary to my normal nature. So when it tells me I can conceive my own higher power, that was a really hard thing for me to do. You know, I hear people say, well, I made a list, and I would get really frustrated because my sponsor didn't tell me to make a list. My sponsor, and so I get frustrated, and I remember her telling me, what is good? And I was like, what do you mean, what is good? Like, ice cream is good. Beef jerky is good. Like, you know, what is good? And so I remember making a list, and I'm talking about children. I love children. talking about children, and I'm talking about nature, and I'm talking about beauty and love and all of these things. And she just tells me, well, there you go. I'm like, you're speaking foreign languages to me. What? And she just tells me, that's a start. All you need is a start. And that was all I needed at the time. You know, I love the fact that it says, however inadequate. In my big book, I have my conception of God will always be inadequate. I used to come in and I would say, the longer I stay sober, the more I put in the action, my God changes, my higher power changes. Until I remember listening to a speaker tape or someone speaking, somebody with something somewhere in AA saying that made sense to me. I start changing from the inside out, and I start seeing other qualities of my higher power. What I need is different today than what I needed when I first was trying to get sober. I could not take it a day at a time when I was first getting sober. I was taking it seconds at a time, minutes at a time. I don't need that much. Well, I do, but it's not the same challenge and struggle as it used to be for me. So my concept of my higher power is very inadequate, and it is always inadequate. But I start being the alcoholic I am because I've been able to create my own concept of God. It makes me willing to believe a little bit more because it's something I've constructed. I also love the fact that Alcoholics Anonymous does not push any religion. It does not sell me a God. It does not tell me what I have to believe in. It doesn't tell me this is how you believe in God. This is how you talk to God. This is what you do. This is when you should do it. This is what your God looks like. I need all kinds of freedom when it comes to my higher power. I need to be able to truly believe in something. You know, I grew up with a Christian mother. Well, she's still a Christian mother. I have a Christian mother, and I grew up believing that I had to believe the way she believed. And it was just very confusing to me because she'd pray about it. She says all the stuff that my sponsor says when I was little, and I just did not get it. She would tell me, pray about it. Let go. Let God. Jesus will fix it. Won't he do it? And all this crazy stuff. And I just did not understand what was going on. And I would get so frustrated. And Alcoholics Anonymous allows me the space to come up with what works for Ebony. And that is something that I can buy into. Thanks.
Kevin, I'm an alcoholic. And when it says we did not have to, we could select our own God of our understanding, I was very thankful for that because, you know, the God that I thought is my mom's church and my grandparents' church was just like hell and damnation. You're going to hell if you do this. You know, this is going to happen if you do this. You know, we had Bible study at my house all the time. At one point, we were going to church 3 or 4 times a week. And I just never felt like that was my God. And so I looked for it outside of me. And coming here and learning that I could choose a higher power of my own conception was very freeing because I thought God should be compassionate. You know, I shouldn't have to be perfect. All the things that I wanted in somebody to treat me that I thought I didn't have in life, that's what I would want in my higher power. And through my sponsor working this step, that's what I found, that's what a higher power is. You know, your own conception of how you would want Kevin to be treated. I mean, I'm not God, but if there was a God that I could tell him what to do, basically. That makes sense. How would I would want to be treated? And that's very comforting for me because I'm not a perfect person. And that's all I have on that.
Thank you, guys. Our third reading is on page 47. We needed to ask ourselves the one short question. Do I now believe, or am I even willing to believe, that there is a power greater than myself? As soon as a man can say that he does believe or is willing to believe, we emphatically assure him that he is on his way. It has been repeatedly proven among us that upon this simple cornerstone, a wonderfully effective spiritual structure can be built.
So that question, do I now believe or am I willing to believe, is another part of the thing that of this process that I overcomplicated. you know, sitting in the rooms, I would hear some things, and I always like to compare myself out. And I thought I would know I had successfully, because I'm all about being successful, if I have successfully completed the second step, because I would feel it. I would know it. Something magical is about to happen in my life. I'm never going to want to drink again. I'm cured. Big trouble if I ever think that. But early on, this is what I thought. So reading this sentence and looking at these questions, I am still a very difficult person to sponsor. I'm just thinking about this right now, sorry. giving my sponsor a hard time. Like, what if I don't believe enough? What if my concept of God, of this higher power, is wrong? What if my God's not like yours? Like, yours seems to be working. What if I'm tainted too much by the church? And she would just look at me and just kind of shake her head, like always, and just tell me, it's a yes or no. Do you believe? Yes or no. Are you willing to believe? Yes or no. And at that point, yeah, whatever I've got is not working. Growing up in the church, I didn't understand what it meant to believe. I saw something different in the people in recovery, these people who said they've been working these steps and they have these lights in their eyes and they're happy and they're all of this great stuff. I'm willing to believe. And for me, that was all I needed, was just some tiny bit of belief, that piece of hope that this process will work for me.
Do I not believe, or am I willing to believe? Every day when I wake up, I just pray for God to show me his will in my life. And when I'm trying to take back my own will, and I'm not willing to go along with reality for Kevin, that's when I start having to look at my steps and if I'm either God is for me or he isn't. That question plays in my head a lot. Either he is or he isn't. And once I made a decision, came to believe, that is like a guardrail to bring me back into reality, because I answered that question is, how am I dealing with reality? If something's going on in my life and I think it should be one way, but obviously God says it should be this way because that's the way it's happening, then if I believe, then I need to surrender into that and then act accordingly with the next right thing. But when I'm in opposition, saying on my back, you know, kicking my feet, life shouldn't be this way, they should do this, they should do that, then I'm taking my will back, and it's just more like with the use the word calamity. I'm totally in opposition of God's will and then Kevin's will, and it's just not going good, and I'm not a happy camper. And I have a big part of my step two is how I deal with my kids, or just my sobriety, deal with my kids and my ex-wife. You know, my life is always in examples. So last week I was having a tough time with my son. We had to do a school meeting, and I wanted to blame my ex for him having problems at school. And I was getting ready to send a real nasty text to her because she had just texted me, we need to have this school meeting. And something told me, just put it to the side. Just don't even deal with it right now. I put it to the side, and I go into a customer that I had to go see, and there's a couple from my home group in there. Mm-hmm. And it's just like, that's what coming to believe in this program of somebody greater than me, I was able to see that right there, and it brought me back to reality of the way I live my life now. And I never sent that text. We had a school meeting. It went great. And life's okay. And that happens to me over and over again, because a lot of times I want to be in my own will, but every day when I wake up and pray for God to put me in his will, even though sometimes I don't believe it, I really want my will. I want what I want. But sometimes I'm able to see where he's guiding me. And it doesn't mean that life goes well. It just means that I'm able to live life on life's terms. Thanks.
All right, moving on to page 52. We had to ask ourselves why we shouldn't apply to our human problems the same readiness to change our point of view. We were having trouble with personal relationships. We couldn't control our emotional natures. We were prey to misery and depression. We couldn't make a living. We had a feeling of uselessness. We were full of fear. We were unhappy. We couldn't seem to be of real help to other people. Was not a basic solution of these bedevilments more important than whether we should see newsreels of lunar flight? Of course it was. When we saw others solve their problems by a simple reliance upon the spirit of the universe, we had to stop doubting the power of God. Our ideas did not work, but the God idea did.
So, this is one of my favorite parts of the big book. So, when BJ started reading this, it just made me really happy. It talks about, I think it's a few paragraphs before, laying aside the drink question, they told why life was so unsatisfactory. And for me, that sentence and this paragraph of the bedevilment was the aha moment that I needed in recovery. That made me realize, wow, maybe these alcoholics are the group of people I need to be around. Maybe doing these things is exactly what I need to do in my life. Because when I am not drinking, when alcohol was not in my system, that's when I felt these bedevilments even more. I used to drink to avoid feeling this way. So I read these questions, and that's exactly who I am without a spiritual way of living and without my baby bottle of alcohol. I'm just sitting here caught and stuck in myself. You know, nobody likes me. I don't want anybody to talk to me. Why can't I do this, but I'm not willing to put in any action? You know, I want this, but I don't want to work for anything. Those bedevilments, and reading it, it was like somebody had read my journal, they had read my diary, they had opened up my soul, and they knew what I had been hiding from the world the entire time. They knew how big that hole was in my spirit. And for me, that is exactly the spiritual malady that that's the spiritual condition that I came in here with. You know, and so I come into Alcoholics Anonymous feeling this way. And the difference is when I see other people in recovery, see people who are actually doing Alcoholics Anonymous and seeing that something is working in their life, it's making me willing to believe a little bit more. You know, I came up with this concept of a higher power because the book tells me I'm screwed. There's going to be some point in life where I'm going to want to drink, and I'm not going to remember I'm an alcoholic. Then I get to the second step, and it tells me, come up with a power greater than yourself. I come up with this God. I'm like, okay, why do I need this God? And then it starts getting down to all of my other issues that I thought was just alcohol, like Kevin said earlier. And that is what made me want to keep coming back, seeing that there is hope that something can change these things. Because I look around and it doesn't seem like people are dealing with the same type of misery. Sometimes some people look like they're having a rough go at it. And that's okay, because I look that way sometimes too in recovery. You know, so I read this and it gives me hope. That spirit of the universe, that my sponsor, that this fellowship of Alcoholics Anonymous is going to work for me too. And it makes me believe a whole lot more than I did when I just thought of this God thing. It made me think, okay, maybe I'm not too broken. Maybe they do understand what it feels like when I'm not drinking. Maybe they do know this true pain that I'm carrying around and trying to hide from the world. You know, that was a really scary place to be. That was one of the most vulnerable places I felt in the rooms, besides doing a fourth step. That place was horrible. But sorry if you haven't done it yet, but it gets better. Because I have a higher power in my life, it gets better. So it makes me, every time I read this, I do a little shivvy, because it just reminds me that I can still feel this way. When I am not spiritually fit, I can still feel this way. And sometimes it doesn't mean I feel them all at the same time, thank you, God. Sometimes I feel one a little bit more than the other. Sometimes I don't feel any of it at all. But it's a starting point for me. This is part of the reason why life was so unsatisfactory. This is why I need to believe in something greater than myself. Whether it's a he, a she, a what, a who, a how, I just need to believe that this process works. You know, I come to believe. It's not I walk into AA and I believe this God thing works and I'm good to go. It was a process for me. And that was where it was very difficult. I had to learn that whole time takes time thing is true. I'm still learning so much. But I thought it was an instant thing. Like my friend says, microwave recovery. But the longer I stick around, the more I see this process working. The less I see these bedevilments, the more I get to shimmy in the sunlight, the more I get to see this higher power in action. Thanks.
When he was saying that readiness to change our, wait, no, point of view. We couldn't control our emotional desires and we're having trouble in relationships. That was me. I was getting divorced. I was always having problems at work with other guys. I mean, I thought I was a good guy, but really, they'd be like, Kevin's a dick. And at least I thought they felt that way. And I always wanted to be accepted and be friendly with people, but it just never worked right for me. And coming here and find out what my problems were, like Emily said, taking a step forward, that really helped me. I know we're doing a step two meeting, but getting all that stuff out on paper with my sponsor and doing my step five and see how afraid I was, because that's really all it was. I was always afraid of being Kevin, you know, because I never thought you would really accept me. And coming here and being able to be accepted, and, you know, I have a group of friends that I always hang out with, and they tolerate me, you know, because I can still be Kevin. And but the part of being Kevin now is that when I get away from those friends and I know I was being Kevin, I'm not that hard on Kevin because I came to believe in a power greater than myself. And I know where to go to get the power to just be okay. You know, that's a key part of my sobriety today, is that I'm just okay. And a lot of times in sobriety for me, I still have these things crop up, you know. Depression, you get misery, life still happens. And step two for me is a good foundation of, like I was saying earlier, it's not about me. And I can just keep going through life, living life on life's terms, and be able to handle what happens, no matter if it's good or bad, you know, because that's only my perception. A lot of times I thought everything was bad. Thanks.
Alrighty, next reading is on page 55. Actually, we were fooling ourselves, for deep down in every man, woman, and child is the fundamental idea of God. It may be obscured by calamity, by pomp, by worship of other things, but in some form or other, it is there. For faith in a power greater than ourselves and miraculous demonstrations of that power in human lives are facts as old as man himself. We finally saw that faith in some kind of God was part of our makeup, just as much as the feeling we have for a friend. Sometimes we had to search fearlessly, but he was there. He was as much a fact as we were. We found the great reality deep down within us. In the last analysis, it is only there that he may be found. It was so with us. We can only clear the ground a bit. If our testimony helps sweep away prejudice, enables you to think honestly, encourages you to search diligently within yourself, then, if you wish, you can join us on the broad highway. With this attitude, you cannot fail. The consciousness of your belief is sure to come to you.
So, deep down inside every man, woman, and child is the fundamental idea of God. For me, that just all boils down to that feeling of right and wrong, that consciousness, that conscious telling me I'm doing the right thing, I'm doing the wrong thing. It was really crazy. I was really crazy in early sobriety, and that feeling was quite annoying. Now that I wasn't drinking and feeling these things, you know, arguing with my parents because I'm living with them and they want me to just be a normal child and I want things my way and tell them what to do and feeling bad for doing these old habits and old behaviors. You know, for me, that was like this consciousness reawakening for me. You know, I think about when I was little, I would be in the house or outside and I would hear somebody call my name. And I'd go in and I'd say, "Mom, you called me." And she would tell me like, "No, that's God telling you, whatever you're about to do, you don't need to do it." And that was kind of scary as a child. But she would tell me this when I'm little and kind of freaked me out a lot. And now I read this and I'm like, you know what? I do feel that. I do feel something telling me right from wrong. I can call it God if I want to. I'm okay. It's easy to call it God. But the crazy part about it is it was super deep inside of me. I have a lot of crazy mess when I come into Alcoholics Anonymous. I have a lot of self-will. I have a lot of super strong character defects. I have a lot of damage that I've done to myself. I have a lot of wreckage that I've caused. I have a lot of feelings that I'm trying to block. I have a lot of chaos when I come into Alcoholics Anonymous. So I love that the fact that it says deep down inside. And you know, this book, the whole point of this, enables me to find a power greater than myself. And it tells me that if I earnestly seek this power, and I want to live life on a spiritual basis, I take these simple actions. So I don't have to think of anything new. I don't have to come up with how do I seek God. I don't have to complicate this process. I just had to do what my sponsor told me to do. I didn't even have to believe that this stuff was going to work. She said, "Pray," I prayed. She said, "Write," sometimes I wrote. She said, "Go to meetings," I went to meetings. She said, "Talk to new people, introduce yourself," I did it. And the more I was willing to avail myself to the process, now that I believed in something, the more these demonstrations of a higher power worked for me. The more I would show up to meetings feeling some kind of way, and the topic of the discussion would be exactly how Ebony is feeling today. That is not coincidence for me. That was definitely a confirmation from my higher power that I was in the right place. You know, I am always responsible for these actions. And the great thing about this is now my higher power gives me these results. And so I've started this belief in this power greater than myself. And I'm taking these actions and I'm doing what my sponsor says. I'm forming a network and people are giving me these suggestions and sobriety of what I should do. And I start doing them and I start getting results in my life. Because it was one thing for me to believe that a higher power was working for you guys, but it was another thing for me to take action and see it working in my life. Those were the miraculous demonstrations I needed. You know, when I made it 7 days without drinking, I was like, "Oh, holy cow, I'm on to something now." Like, that's exactly what I needed. And the longer I stuck around, the more I started making friends, the more I was willing. You know, I thought it was like an on and off switch. I believe, I don't believe, I believe, I don't believe. But it's really like, I believe this much, now I believe this much. And the more these things are happening in my life, the more I'm like, I really want more of this. I really want to keep going. I really think this is going to work because I'm doing the actions. I'm seeing the results. I keep saying it over and over again. But for a drunk like me, if I don't see results, I'm not going to keep going. I like the easy, softer way. That's what I like. I want to try this thing and say it won't work because I've done everything you said and nothing has changed in my life. But the truth of the matter is, I did almost everything you guys said and a lot of things started happening in my life, and that belief grew. And it's amazing that now I started believing, and it eventually led me to a place of actually being able to have faith. And I always thought that, you know, faith and hope were the same thing, but they're not for me. For me to have faith, I have to believe and trust. I wasn't willing to trust in God, trust in a higher power, trust this process until I start seeing results. And once I believe and trust, then I'm on my way to make a beginning on the third step.
My life was always obscured by calamity and or my connection to my higher power. And as soon as I came to the rooms, I really, it was it really was ordained for me, because it wouldn't have been my choice to come to the program to get help, because I would have never surrendered and say, you know, I have a problem. But it was like God was like, my higher power was ordering my steps. You know, I happened to have a customer who I was really close with, who was in the rooms, and we talk every week when I was delivering there. And then I had reached out to her and said, listen, I'm having a problem. I want to find a meeting to maybe go to. And she pointed me in the right direction. Then the next day, I was in Williamsburg, didn't know where to go for a meeting. I Googled meetings, and I was right next door to a meeting, because I had to be there for like 6 hours for my job. And it was really, I know some people say they came here and it took them a time, but for me, it was really, the God consciousness was very immediate, just to see that this is something bigger than you, Kevin. Like, just when you start getting a little crazy, like, think outside, like, why are these things happening? Why are these things happening? Then on that third day, was a Sunday, I went to my home group there on a Christmas party. I get there, my sponsor was leading the meeting. I was a little bit late, and he waved me all the way up front. I mean, it was a packed house. I was like, this guy can't be an alcoholic. You know, he's in a suit. I thought he was like the leader of AA. And I was like, he can't be an alcoholic. I remember thinking that about Ross. Like, there's no way. And now that guy's my sponsor. You know, things like that happen all the time for me. And that lets me know that I was just obscured by calamity. And that calamity for Kevin was always just basically selfishness and self-centeredness. Boiled down to it, and fear, because if I thought anything other than me could control or do anything, then that was fear-based for me. So I would never look outside of me. I never wanted to look outside of me for anything else. It was always Kevin. You know, Kevin was his own higher power. And so coming here, it was just, like I said, it's just always been right. It's always been working for me. Thank you.
Our final reading is in the appendix. It's page 568, and it's appendix 2. Most of us think this awareness of a power greater than ourselves is the essence of spiritual experience. Our more religious members call it God consciousness. Most emphatically, we wish to say that any alcoholic capable of honestly facing his problems in the light of our experience can recover, provided he does not close his mind to all spiritual concepts. He can only be defeated by an attitude of intolerance or belligerent denial. We find that no one need have difficulty with the spirituality of the program. Willingness, honesty, and open-mindedness are the essentials of recovery, but these are indispensable.
Every time I read this appendix, I think about an early sobriety. An old timer came up to me and he says, you look good. There's something different about your eyes. And I hadn't got up to this point. I hadn't read this appendix. I haven't gotten anywhere. And so I just thought he was being a creep. And it made me highly uncomfortable. And I remember going back and reading this, and I was like, oh my gosh, he saw the lights coming back. He saw it before I did. And so every time I read it, it kind of makes me laugh. And it's amazing to sit here and be here long enough to see other people start to change and see the lights come on in their eyes, and to be that creep that says, I see something different in you. Your eyes look different. You know, and I remember being so frustrated. Like I said, in early sobriety, I was crazier. I wanted things immediately, and I would be so frustrated because God hadn't talked to me. And I'm reading about this stuff, and I have this old idea that if I'm doing the steps precisely how I'm supposed to, God's going to come down and tell me I'm good, I'm sober, I'm saved, I'm cured, whatever God says. But she never did that. And so I'm sitting down talking to my sponsor, and she's just like, Ebony, oh gosh, let's read. That's always her answer, let's read. That tells you something about me. So we're reading And I'm so happy that there's a different type of spiritual experience, that this book allows me to have that educational variety, something that happens slowly over time. You know, I didn't see it. Sometimes I don't see it. And then sometimes now I have these moments where these great things come out of my mouth, and I'm just like, holy, who am I? Like, that's not Ebony talking. That is the direct result of these 12 steps, these actions, this program, this change in me. You know, for me, I was so scared when someone says, well, you only have to change one thing. And I'm like, okay, I'll stop drinking. I'll change. And they said, everything. That's the one thing you need to change. Old time humor. I didn't like it. I don't like it. But the great thing about it is I don't have to change everything all at once. I just have to be willing enough to try to do something different. I have to be open-minded enough to think that maybe you guys are on to something. Maybe the people who wrote this book know what they're talking about. I have to get honest enough with myself because, you know, I suffer from a disease that does not allow me to differentiate the true from the false. I suffer from a disease that tells me it's okay, one drink won't hurt. I suffer from a disease that says I can get away with it this time. You know, I have to be honest enough to say, I am an alcoholic. I have to be honest enough to say that I'm a little insane when it comes to that first drink. I have to be honest enough to reach out my hand and say, I need help. Can you help me? This is how I'm feeling. I don't know what's going on. And those essentials of recovery, so far, and I have a very small, limited amount of sobriety to some people, but for me, this is an amazing amount of sobriety for a drunk like me, you know. So those essentials of recovery I use and are necessary every single day of my life. That honesty, open-mindedness, and willingness, that grows just like my faith in my higher power. Each day that I put in an action and I get these results, those things and those definitions, just that layer of onion peels off a little bit more and I learn a little bit more about myself. And I'm just so glad that it was slow, because if it was instant for me, I would not still be here. I don't need a miracle like that, because I just think I was cured. God knows what she's doing for this drunk. I need something slow. I need something that makes me keep coming back. I need something that makes me want to stay here. Thanks.
For me, these three, they go in an order. When I'm being honest, it allows me to be more willing. And then when I'm willing, doing the work, it leads to me being open-minded, because that was a very freeing thing, was to know my problem. That I was an alcoholic and that I suffered from untreated alcoholism. In all of my years, I never really thought about that, because I thought, like, you know, an alcoholic was drunk, he didn't have a house, all these stereotypical things. And to come here and just being honest, saying, you know what, I'm an alcoholic, or I'm like, alcohol runs my life and my life's unmanageable. Just in that small, being honest with Kevin, it just opened the doors for everything else for me. To be open-minded and willing enough to listen to someone else and willing to do the work even when I didn't really know what the work was. Because I could always go back to, am I being honest, Kevin? Because if I was being truly honest that my life was unmanageable and that I couldn't control alcohol, then it led me to be open-minded and willing to do the work for everything else. Because, if I'm not being honest, I'm taking my will back and not living spiritually. Thanks.
Thank you guys. Thanks, so God. Much. We're now going to pass the Seventh Tradition basket. Thank you. Seventh Tradition states that every AA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. While contributions cover each group's rent and other expenses, the Seventh Tradition is essential at every level of AA service. It is both a privilege and a responsibility for groups and members to ensure that not only their group, but also their intergroup, central office, local services, district area, and the general service office remain self-supporting. This keeps AA free of outside influences that might divert us from our primary purpose, which is to help the alcoholic who still suffers. Although the amount of our contribution is secondary to the spiritual connection that unites all groups around the world, we may want to remember that a dollar does not support as many services as it used to. Announcements. Are there any AA-related announcements at this time? Steph.
I'm Stephanie. I'm an alcoholic.
And Stephanie.
Wakefield Campfire Conference is at the
Thanks for sharing.
David Julian, alcoholic.
Hey, David Julian.
My home group, Uptown Young and Sober, will be hosting our 14th anniversary meeting on Wednesday the 30th. It is at St. Andrew's United Methodist Church. The address is 717 Tucson Avenue, or Drive, excuse me, in Virginia Beach. We'll be having a potluck from 6 to 7 p.m., and then at 7:30 we'll have a speaker, one of two speakers going on. So Eaton Fellowship and Eaton from 6 to 7, and from 7 to 8:30 we'll have two speakers, Chuck I and Laura H. And I have flyers if anybody would like them.
Thanks, David. Anybody else have an announcement? Alrighty. Simple Actions is a home group. If you're interested in joining our home group, please see one of us after the meeting. Home group members, please raise your hand. Newcomers, is there anyone here in their first 30 days of sobriety? We would like to welcome you.
My name is Mason. I'm an alcoholic.
Hi, Mason. Welcome.
Anybody else? We do have literature available on the table over there. Please see me or any home group member after the meeting if you'd like to purchase a book. And if you can fold it, it's free. Sponsorship question. Sponsorship in AA is yours for the asking. We urge you, do not delay. If you have questions or would like additional information about sponsorship, I will be available at this table after we close the meeting. Please feel free to come up and talk to me. Reminders, smokers, please use the butt cam provided outside and stay well away from the church doors. All of our meetings, our audio are recorded, and upcoming events are posted on our website at simpleactions.net. In closing, will you guys join me in thanking our panel? Thank you to all who participated. After we clean up, all are invited and encouraged to continue the conversation on step two at the meeting after the meeting, which will be held at Plaza del Sol on Colonial and 22nd Street. Could I have a volunteer to read the last two paragraphs on page 164? No pressure.
Not ready. 164.
Ralph, thank you. Yes, sir.
Last paragraph?
The last two.
The last one. My name is Ralph and I am an alcoholic.
Hi, Ralph.
Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. I examine your morning meditation, what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answer will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults, to him and to your fellows. Clear away the records of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then. Thank you for listening.
Thanks for reading, Ralph.
All right, we're going to close with the Lord's Prayer. Our Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done.